All right, good evening. I'd like to welcome everyone out to our planning commission meeting tonight on Thursday, September the 1st already, hard to believe. Apologize for being just a few minutes late getting started. We need to synchronize up some clocks just a little bit better from room to room. So with that, we'll go ahead and begin tonight's meeting. We'll begin with an invocation by Andy Rasmussen, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance given by Jessica Crony.
Our dear Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this beautiful day to gather together as members of this city and of this country, and we are thankful, Father, for the many blessings that we have in our lives and to be a community with one another. We pray for guidance this night, that we will be directed in the best ways forward for the city and for the community. Help us to work together to make this community better and stronger, and that we will have discussions that are beneficial for one another. And we ask and pray for these things in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Everyone, please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance and repeat after me.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Andy and Jessica. Appreciate your willingness to participate this evening. I'd like to make mention that we do have a full quorum present tonight for us to be able to conduct our business. Item 1.3 on our agenda is the approval of the minutes for August the 18th, 2016. I will entertain a motion.
Motion to approve.
I have a motion to approve.
Second.
And a second. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
And any opposed? Seeing none, those will be approved. Thank you. Before we get into our regular agenda for this evening, I'd just like to make reference to our public comment policy and procedure. This can be found on the rear side of your agenda down near the bottom. This applies to any of those items that are on for a public hearing tonight and those that are in attendance wishing to make a comment. The purpose of the public comment is to allow citizens to address items that are on the agenda for public comment. Citizens that are requesting to address the commission will be asked to complete one of our written comment forms, which are located in the rear of the room, and present that to Cindy, our deputy recorder, before you leave this evening. In general, we allow an individual up to 3 minutes to make comments to the planning commission. If we have a spokesperson who is here as recognized as representing a larger group in attendance, they may be allowed up to 5 minutes. So again, that will apply to all items that are on for public hearing tonight. And we ask everyone to adhere to that and also be respectful of the other comments that are being made, knowing that sometimes we have differing opinions on certain issues that we discuss here that are on the agenda. So with that, we'll go ahead and get into our regular agenda, beginning with item 2.1 tonight. This is for, actually, we're going to do item 2.1 and 2.2 together. This is file 23S16. And file 14C08-20. This is HTC Communities, located at 13295 South Harriman Rose Boulevard. This is for a proposed subdivision. And final master plan approval for 5 lots, including 3 single-family lots, an LDS church, and some open space.
Yes.
Whew.
Okay.
Bryn, you.
Good job. So again, item 2.1 and 2.2. is a subdivision and master plan approval. We have to do both processes, and we have to do them separately. So again, the property is in the town center, just south of the apartments that are under construction and just a little bit east of City Hall. So here is the approved plan for the town center. So again, the property is over here adjacent to the future tracks line. So this is the layout. Again, it's one chapel site, an open space detention site, And then three residential lots which face Berry Creek Drive. So again, that's what I have. The applicant has a presentation if you'd like just to have him go through that.
Okay, Matt, come on up.
Good evening, Matt Watson representing Harriman Town Center. This application and the following application, both projects are adjacent to each other, so I have information for both to kind of to show you tonight. So Bryn went over the location really well. So again, this is the town center map, and the clouded area covers, again, both applications, this application and the next application. So to give you an update on where we're at, so the Harriman Town Center is a master plan community mixed-use development that has been approved. It's been approved with a minimum density of 5.5 units per acre, which comes out to be 2,032 units. So to date, we've gotten approved 626 single-family lots and 449 multifamily lots and 536 apartments, and that's two different areas, the Bach apartments and the Garbett apartments. So total to date of what's been approved in the town center, there's 1,611 units. So remaining is 421. The applications before you, again, this application and the next application, this one has three single-family homes in it. The next application has the balance, which it totals out to be 97 units. 81 of those are single-family, and 16 of those are townhomes. So with the approval of both applications, the 97 units, we have a 324 remaining to meet the minimum requirement of 2,032 units. And that's over approximately 370 acres is what, how large the town center is. Again, the map, and I did want to show you, you know, we're down to, again, about 300 units. Let's see if this. So as far as what has been approved, pretty much everything has been approved except for this central area. So you've got City Hall that's under construction. So you've got what we've kind of nicknamed the U Road, and then we've got this outer U Road. So basically everything in there has not come in for approval yet. So that's kind of what's remaining. And then you just have a little bit across the street here. So everything that you see right here is all approved. And then this is what we're in here for tonight. So again, that chapel, this regional storm drain detention, this single family, and then there's these 16 townhomes right here. So everything else that you can see is approved. And there's a couple things still that would come back, you know, site plan approval, commercial things. So you've got some commercial along here. You also have Property Reserve, Inc. that owns this property. So as far as residential, though, really what's remaining to be approved is right in this area, in the central area, just to kind of give you an update. Bryn showed you the map and the map in your packet. So we have this single lot for the LDS Chapel. The LDS Church is interested in purchasing this. They would obviously come back for site plan approval, conditional use approval through this body. Again, regional detention, this is on the border of Riverton and Harriman. So all the stormwater has to be kind of collected and released at a certain rate that Riverton will allow to be received. So that's the reason for this being at this location. This is Berry Creek Drive. So this is Riverton right here. These are existing single family homes, and this is a 50-foot residential right-of-way. So we widen out to a 60-foot as we go along the open space along the chapel. These three single family lots here were included in this just because with the construction of that road, utility services for those would be off this road. So the next application that will come up after this one is the remainder. So this way is north now. So this would be the chapel over here. Those would be those three single family lots. So that's where the consecutive numbers come in, you know, the 14, 15, 16. So these are all the single family lots right here with Fort Harriman Parkway, which is the main road. It's 114-foot right-of-way. That's where the townhomes would face. And so you've got the front door, but their garage is actually off the back here. So we don't have any homes accessing that major road. And these are elevations of those townhomes. So these are the ones that have also been approved in the Greenwood Village project in the town center, in Park View in the town center, and in Skyline in the town center. So same builder, same elevations. And so where those have been approved are right here, also on Fort Herman Parkway. There's some right here, and then there's some in here. So setbacks are as listed in your staff reports for the single family lots. And for the townhomes, just be 18 foot minimum from any public right of way. So you've got Fort Herman Parkway, Brundisi, this is a public right of way right behind it right here. So you'd have 18 feet from any public right of way. So again, 16 townhome units, 81 single family units, and again, that includes those three that are in this application that you're hearing right now. The townhomes are two-story units. They do have basements, they do have two-car garages, and they do have 20-foot long driveways. The single family would be a mixture of two-story or single-story, but they would also have basements, two-car garages, full-length driveways. Again, as mentioned in the work meeting, this is the cross-section. When we originally were going through the planning process with the city of the Harriman Town Center, this was the cross-section that was created for Main Street right here, so the current Main Street that City Hall sits on. So you can see it's got two travel lanes in each direction, and then the center median next down for turn lanes. And then we actually have the bike lanes on the side. So during this residential portion, which I'll show you back to the map, we have single travel lanes each direction with the center median, and it also has center turn lanes to neck down. But we have on-street parking and bike lanes. And these have 10.5-foot park strips and 6-foot sidewalks. So where that residential section is from the park to this corner right here where it starts going into the commercial area. So these would still have four travel lanes to each direction. You'd have lanes that would peel off that go this way, which connects to Mountain View Corridor. And again, you'd be able to pick up a lane, people coming this direction, making a right-hand turn there. So again, this would be the residential section where you have on-street parking. So that's the development. Again, that's this application and then the following application. So if there's any questions or...
Your regional detention site, what was the size of that parcel? Was it about 1.5?
Yes.
Do you know how many acre feet of water that stores?
If you don't, that's okay. I can find out, but I don't know how many acre feet it stores.
Okay. Thanks. But no improvements or amenities planned for that open space area or no?
No,
or yes?
It is one of the last ones, and it is actually fairly deep. So it would all be sod and landscaped, but no amenities down in the bottom of it.
Okay, is there additional questions for Matt at this time? Okay, thanks, Matt. I'll let you take a seat. Okay, so for item 2.1 on the agenda, this is for the proposed subdivision. This item is on for a public hearing. Again, remind those choosing to comment to refer back to the public comment policy and procedure. We will go ahead and open the public hearing on item 2.1 at this time and invite anyone forward wishing to make a comment. We don't all have to rush up at once. Okay, thank you. Seeing none, we will go ahead and close the public hearing on item 2.1. And we will turn now to members of the Planning Commission for further discussion and possible action on these two items.
I think it's pretty straightforward. The only concerns at all are just minimal parking, which I think it still accommodates what's needed.
Okay.
I'm good. So with that, ready for a motion?
Yeah.
All right. I move to approve item 2.123S16 with staff's recommendations, which there are, off of it, how many are there? With their 5 requirements.
Okay, we have a motion to approve by Adam.
Second.
And a second by Chris. We'll go ahead and call for the vote on this. We'll start down this. And Andrea?
Yes.
Jeremy?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Robin?
Yes.
Adam?
Yes.
And Kirk?
Yes.
That motion carries. That item is approved. We'll move on to item 2.2, which would be the final master plan approval for the same development. The only thing I may suggest on the master plan is something to consider for whoever wants to make the motion is maybe not as important in this one, but since we want consistency through, is if we wanted to put a requirement that these have basements, since they've already said that they will in that area. Again, we know how much those help when we get into storage and parking issues down, but for consistency through that area.
I agree with that. So with that, I'd like to make a motion to approve item 2.2 with staff's 4 requirements, with a 5th requirement that all have basements.
Okay.
All 3.
All 3 in that one, yes. All right, thanks. We have a motion to approve by Adam with the requirements and 1 additional.
I'll second that.
All right. And Chris will second that. Again, we'll call for the vote on this. Start down the other end this time. Kurt?
Yes.
Adam?
Yes.
Robin?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Jeremy?
Yes.
And Andrea?
Yes.
Okay, that motion carries. That item is approved. Now we'll move on to items 2.3 and 2.4 on our agenda. This is file 24S16 and 14C08-21, again, HTC Communities. Again, this will be an adjacent property to the one we just saw, located at 13295 South in Harriman Rose Boulevard. Again, for the proposed subdivision of 78 single-family lots and 16 townhomes, and the corresponding final master plan approval. Bryn.
You do such a good job. So, again, we've gone over this pretty well already. So, again, we're looking at the pod just south of what we approved. The townhomes will face Fort Harriman, which is just the main road here. Single family, the rest of it. The future UTA transit line does run along the east side of this property. So there will be fencing there. We had some questions. We hadn't seen the elevations for the townhomes and some of that. And again, some of the parking we were unsure about. So staff doesn't have any requirements at this point on this one. Again, get any additional information you need. Have a public hearing on the subdivision, and we can bring this back in a couple weeks.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions for Bryn? Okay. Matt, is there anything you wanted to add on this one? Okay. That makes it easy.
Yeah.
Any questions for Matt before we move into the public hearing on this particular development and how it ties into the surrounding area? Okay. Seeing none. We'll move right into the public hearing. Again, this will be for item 2.3, and this is for the proposed subdivision of the 78 single-family lots and 16 townhomes. We'll open that public hearing now. Okay. Just making sure no one wants to comment on this item.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you. Seeing none, we will go ahead and close the public hearing on item 2.3. Again, there was no requirements listed on this one, awaiting some additional information, so I think it's been suggested that we continue these two items. So, and give any input you would like as far as items, requirements for next
anything
time's
see, yeah.
Anticipated action.
Does the future UTA corridor, is it part of the land of this, or is that done in another phase?
Has it already been planned?
It's not part of this. It's kind of been left, and one thing is, I mentioned before, kind of giving an update and what's been approved. There's going to be a lot of construction along that UTA corridor with over this next year with everything that's been approved along there. So I'm anticipating maybe not the end of next year, but probably the beginning of 2018. We're already working on the plan now, but the plan is that we don't know exactly when UTA will be coming through, so we're going to put a trail and landscape through that corridor, so it'll be a trail corridor until the tracks comes, or bus rapid transit, whatever UTA decides. So we've just preserved that right away for that purpose. So we're able to deed that to the city or whatever. But in the interim, as again, like I said, there'll be a lot of construction along that corridor, so we don't want to put it in now and have it all kind of destroyed. But I think over the next year, that will get built out along there. We'll be able to go in and finish that out. So, and that's how it'll remain until UTA decides to move forward.
Okay. So one thing I'd just like to see in the staff's recommendations when they come forward is that the plat shows UTA corridor, especially because you are going to landscape it. I don't want 10 years from now somebody complaining that they didn't know about it. So I'd just like to see that on the plat.
On the plat, absolutely.
That kind of goes. That kind of goes.
We did that on the adjacent one.
I thought we did. I just think we should, anytime it's along something like this, try and give that awareness to the future landowners.
How quickly we forget. And I would add in there, just for consistency of those three homes, making basements a requirement on that one as well. Any other feedback for Bryn on these items?
I think that covers it.
Okay. I will entertain a motion on these two items then.
I'll make a motion on item 2.324S16, HTC Communities. We continue that. You want to just go without date, Bryn?
Just say without date. But
without date.
Okay, we have a motion to continue without date from Jeremy.
I'll second it.
A second by Adam. We'll call for the vote on this. Kurt?
Yes.
Adam?
Yes.
Robin?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Jeremy?
Yes.
And Andrea?
Yes.
That motion carries. Item will be continued. And moving on to motion for item 2.4.
Our motion item 2.4, 14C08-21, HTC Communities. We continue this item without date.
I'll second that also.
Okay. Motion and a second to continue. That is Jeremy and Adam again. We will call for the vote on this. Kurt?
Yes.
Adam?
Yes.
Robin?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Jeremy?
Yes.
And Andrea?
Yes.
That motion carries as well. We'll move on to item 2.5 on our agenda. This is file 45C16, Rasmussen, located at 5216 West Wyndham Road. And this is for a proposed home occupation for preschool. Bryn.
All right, so home occupations are a conditional use. Typically, they are submitted to staff. We mail out letters to the neighbors and see if there are any concerns. And then if the neighbors have concerns, we bring it to you. So. We did have some concerns received about this proposed preschool, which is why you are seeing it. You've got a couple of the emails in your packet that we have received from neighbors. And let me just show you again. Here's where the property is. So you can see it sits in the back, and then it is a shared driveway. There is another house in the front. So you can see again how it lays out there. So two homes share that driveway. They did receive approval from their HOA, which, again, you also have that in your packet. This is really up for you. We did mail out letters again to the neighbors to let them know this would be on the agenda. And I'm sure the applicant is here if you have any questions for them.
Okay. Any additional questions for Bryn before we move to the applicant? Okay, seeing none, if the applicant is present and would like to come forward. If you'll begin with your name and address for the record, please.
Jessica Rasmussen, 5216 West Wyndham Road.
Thank you. Thank you for being here tonight. Just go ahead and provide to us any additional information that you feel is pertinent in the consideration of your application before us tonight.
I think the one that we go into detail is the proposed drop-off and pickup route, which the HOA has approved through the neighborhood, a specific route of the parents coming down Reigate, stopping at that stop sign, turning left onto Wyndham, and stopping in front of the curbs. They will not be driving into the driveway. They will stop in front of the curbs where I will meet the child, pick them up, and take them to the home. So there will be no parking on the street. It is just specific pick up and drop off.
Okay. And I was just looking here as well. Are you proposing just one session a day? Is that correct?
As of right now, that's all I have filled, but it is proposed down the road that there will be up to four sessions a day. It would be two sessions a day, but four sessions total, a Monday, Wednesday, Friday morning and afternoon class, and a Tuesday, Thursday morning and afternoon class.
What were the times on that afternoon class you were proposing?
12:30 to 3.
And your anticipated number of children or desired number of children in each of those sessions?
12 max.
12? So, obviously hearing that your proposal for pickup and drop off is curbside to help mitigate that concern of the driveway, inclement weather, what would you do during times of inclement weather with those little ones and, of course, a little bit of distance from the curb to where your home is?
Yeah, it's just me walking there and holding them hands down and salting the driveway if it hasn't been done so already by the HOA landscapers.
So move quicker, right?
But don't fall down.
Okay, additional questions for the applicant?
Is there a school bus route through there, or?
I don't understand how that works. Yeah.
Or the pickup is for?
Oh, for regular.
For regular.
Regular.
As to whether or not that would be a problem.
What are your proposed staffing levels? Is it just you? Will you have additional
just
support?
Just me for right now. If we get up to our desired amount where we would have full classes, then my sister will be joining as well.
Okay. So two.
For me, one and impossible, two.
And they're not allowed to have employees in a home occupation. That's one of the requirements on there, so that would have to be. So no employees would be allowed, technically.
Yeah. Which she is on the business license. She is, like, my business partner, so she wouldn't.
Okay. Additional questions for the applicant? Okay. Seeing none, we'll let you go ahead and take a seat. Again, we did receive a few emails with regards to this proposed. So at this time, I'm going to go ahead and see if there's anyone here tonight wishing, neighbors basically would have received notice on this, anyone wishing to make a comment to this proposed home occupation tonight? And if so, please come forward at this time. Yes. If you'll begin with your name and address for the record, please.
My name is Brandy Christensen, and I live at 5222 Windham Road, and I live in front of her. And my concern is just as far the curbside, that was one of my concerns of people coming in and out, so curbside would be fine, but that's a lot of traffic and we don't live, I mean, when I'm trying to back out and there's all these kids, that's my concern of safety.
Okay.
So.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. Absolutely, safety always a concern when we're dealing with young kids. And I know, Brandon, the applicant can probably motion. I believe that in terms of children outside and fencing is not allowed in your area. Is that correct for your homes? Okay, thank you.
Did we ask her, are you planning on having the children outside or? No, okay.
Okay, anyone else wishing to make a comment on this item? Okay, thank you. We'll now turn it to members of the Planning Commission for further discussion and possible action on this item.
So I guess I have one for Bryn.
Okay.
Typically on a pod development like this, you have private streets, then you have limited common, which is the driveway,
uh-huh.
And then you have other types of uses that are owned by the individuals. Has staff looked at that? Because I know the HOA would look at the restrictions as far as whether they have they're okay with the idea. But as far as the land and property rights, if it's, I've seen it where limited common means that only those that live there can access that driveway. Now, this is in another area of the state that I've seen this before.
Yeah.
But my question is, have we looked at that from a right-of-way perspective? I would just hate to...
Yeah, and we have a sign, like you said, it's not a public street. It's private driveway, and I would expect the HOA to be looking at that. I mean, that's...
But HOAs typically are only... They're looking at the amenities and what they're going to plow and stuff like that, but what I'm saying is the property rights of who owns what. The driveways typically are a limited common kind of thing,
mm-hmm.
and it depends on what the plat actually says on who can actually use the driveway of thing. And I've seen that happen where I would just hate to make an action without knowing if that's okay.
I'm just going to find the plat here real quick. See if it says.
And I will tell you guys, I'm pretty familiar with this. When we were building our home, we lived in a townhome up the street on Red Gate. And I worked from home. And when it snowed, we would usually see one or two cars slide on that hill right there. Mm-hmm. And we had it happen several times going down the hill. They're at the bottom. They're at the bottom of Red Gate. And so, I mean, I remember sitting at the front window when it snowed for entertainment purposes. And so maybe they're better about plowing, but it usually happened once or twice during the winter. And so, I mean, it's a little bit of a concern to me. But
obviously this one does provide some different challenges a lot of times than we see in single-family dwellings where they have that shared access. And certainly understand the concern of the neighbor and for access and safety reasons both, and want to make sure that we do our due diligence on, one, making sure that, again, we're not making a ruling that violates some of those
mm-hmm.
Ordinances out there, and obviously doing all that we can in terms of mitigating those potential concerns and safety issues as well. Any luck there, Bren?
There's like 17 flats.
Yeah. I was going to say, I don't know that it would be fast to review, but it's a concern that I have. That we would be violating that
mm-hmm.
someone else's property rights, and I don't know.
Again, to Bren's point, we would hope that maybe the HOA would also consider that, but at the end of the day, this is the body that ultimately has to consider all of those potentials and make sure that we're acting appropriately. So,
and I know... I mean, morning class, if they max out their morning and afternoon, and then there's Tuesday, Thursday, you're talking about 48 potential cars mm-hmm. during the week that can be on here. And I honestly worry a little bit about no on-street parking with 48 different drivers at some point. If they're early and need to pick up their kid or anything else, and I mean, they will park and walk up to the house. It will occur.
In our aerial photos showing lots of parking already. So.
It's a lot on one side.
It looks like it's on both.
It does.
Yeah. So
I can be allowed on both, yeah. It's a private road, but I think...
I'm concerned on safety, to be honest.
Yeah. So am I.
Yeah. Again, some unique challenges with this particular application, so...
Sorry to put you on the spot, Bren.
That's okay. Oh, I think I found it. I don't know what I'm looking for now. Let's look at it.
You found the page?
Mm-hmm. I'm going to show it to you. Oh, don't do that.
So it is showing like I suggested. So the hash marks typically show the same. If you notice, it's the same as their back porch.
Let's see if it says. There we go.
Limited common area.
Limited common is that?
Yes. So with that, and you'd have to go look at their actual
Right.
The whole big part of the plat, and you'd have to have an attorney look at that. But typically that restricts who can use that road. Just no different than have you noticed the limited common areas, their patios as well. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not in a position this time to make a decision off this based off of just that alone because of that concern.
You'd like basically a legal opinion on that.
And my other thing is
to ensure that they have the right access. HOAs own and maintain limited common area, and so I don't know that they would be addressing that in just a general approval of a business. And I want to make sure that they are analyzing that piece.
Another thing that I think needs to be considered, she's talking about 12 individuals in the morning, 12 individuals in the afternoon, which we have to think that's 24 cars that day potentially. And they're going to be picking up and dropping off at about the same time.
Yeah, where are they going to park?
And so if there's 24 cars going through there at that time, and I'm not saying a traffic study, but there's going to be something that can prove to me that's appropriate to be occurring at that street.
Yeah, preschool is a little different than daycare, because daycare it's kind of random, but with preschool it's going to be 12
cars.
It's
very defined time.
Yep,
and so I don't know if there's something that can tell me that that's appropriate for that kind of traffic on that little road at that time. And so, I mean, if I can see something that says that's appropriate for those 24 cars at that time, then I would have to reconsider this. But that being said, it would be very difficult for me to approve it until I can see that.
I think both of those are valid points. This seems, you know, then you add in the fact that it's in an area where we're talking about a large amount of children in a place where there's a very high traffic volume behind the house with no fences. I have some safety concerns with that.
You're talking adjacent to the Rose Crest Road.
Exactly, correct. The road behind the house. It seems to me, I'm a big proponent of home-based businesses. I think that's great. But in my opinion, some are better served in commercial areas rather than residential areas. And from what I've heard from the applicant, including volume of kids, the potential of an employee, regardless of how they're defined, we're talking an additional person in the house to support the business. I'm not sure this is the right location for this particular business.
Okay, other comments?
I agree there's an issue with traffic and the safety of kids. And I assume 9:30 would be after school kids have gone. And I don't know about kindergarten. As far as
the 12:30 time may have some overlap as far as any kindergarten children in the area that are coming going to school. I'm not sure of that exact timing.
And in the future, if there's afternoon classes, you have an increase in children in the neighborhood if the afternoon classes are going until 3 o'clock or 2.
And then you have kindergarten and school.
And we're basically stopping all traffic in a road.
Yeah.
You are.
To drop off. You know, buses typically have lights and all of that kind of safety stuff. I kind of agree with you, Jeremy, to be honest.
I agree with the safety concerns. The right-of-way or the property rights concerns aren't as concerning to me because of the agreement by the applicant to do the curbside drop-off, but the curbside drop-off does introduce... I live next door to a preschool and can attest that the traffic can get pretty congested. We're lucky to live in a large cul-de-sac, which has room for it, and doesn't present the same concern, but in this space.
Okay. Any other comments? Okay, so heard obviously some concerns when it comes to conditional use, and any of those concerns, there has to be obviously a demonstration of the ability to mitigate those concerns. And if there is also one that's been brought up by Adam that could potentially require some I guess, additional look, maybe a legal opinion on the use of that. So there could be possible options on this would be obviously continuation to further investigate those things, or a determination of whether you feel like the safety concerns that have been brought up tonight can be adequately mitigated through requirements placed by this body on this application. And if not, then to adequately basically be able to demonstrate that we don't think that those would be able to be mitigated due to any such requirements being placed. So the options that are really available for this body to consider on this item.
I don't know what they could do to mitigate it, because even picking up a drop-off, you still have the traffic.
Looking at the current application, I don't feel like I can approve it, and so I can make a motion. If they came back with answering all of resolving everything, had to put in a new application, had a traffic study that showed that they could do something, I mean, at that point, then it would have to be reconsidered. But with what they gave me, I don't feel like we can approve it.
Okay, so just make sure you go ahead.
Yeah.
I mean, if that means we have to continue to have them come in and answer all of the questions.
Would you like to give the opportunity to the applicant to...
I'm okay with that.
To continue and try and come back to this body with a plan.
Okay. I'm not a safety expert myself.
So. Of how to, of ideas of how to mitigate the concerns expressed by this body tonight.
Okay.
Though just asking the question and giving options.
No, I agree. I always want to give the applicant every opportunity to, you know, if they can think of something that we're not smart enough to come up with, I'm all for that. But I do agree with Adam in particular that I would like to see a legal opinion on that limited access portion. I'm not sure if the HOA unwittingly opened themselves up to some liability there that they're just not aware of.
I feel like we need to have something, a third party that says 24 cars pulling through there is appropriate within a 20-minute span, too.
Yeah.
I just don't know safety-wise we could say yes until someone who can look at the traffic and say, yes, we can pull up and drop off 24 kids within a 20-minute period.
Right. Correct.
And pick up. So
with what we're seeing, the requirements versus what was proposed about a second drop-off, we just need those to be in line. As far as what I see is that the hours of operation are only 9:30 to noon.
Which was what was originally specified on the application.
Correct. So what I'm saying is whatever that plan is, the complete plan, needs to address the safety concerns, the ingress and egress concerns that I brought up, as well as the private road and all of that stuff.
Yeah. If you feel like Brent can obviously help, if you feel like you got a sense of the concerns that are being expressed by this body tonight and things that you can go back and try and address, okay? Obviously, safety being primary here, and ways that you can try and mitigate the safety and the traffic concerns that would come with the potential of, you know, 12 cars in and out at a time at each of these in a plan that would be able to help this body understand how that would help mitigate some of those concerns is what we're specifically looking for. Okay, thank you.
Do we need an official motion?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, so with that, I would like to continue item 2.545C16, Rasmussen without date.
Second.
And that was a motion by Adam and a second by Kurt. We will go ahead and call the vote on this. Kurt?
Yes.
Adam?
Yes.
Robin?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Jeremy?
Yes.
And Andrea?
Yes.
That motion carries. That item will be continued. Okay, we'll move on to item 2.6 on our agenda. This is file 44C16. Crony, located at 14638 South Highfield Drive, and this is for a proposed detached garage. Bryn.
All right, so again, this is for a proposed detached garage. The ordinance allows up to 800 square feet for a detached garage. The proposal is for 1,200 square feet. So that's why you are seeing this. So this is, again, the plan for the garage to be in the rear yard. And this is a picture of the existing home. And then, again, you can see it would be in the backyard. We did receive some concerns from neighbors, which is, again, why you're seeing this. They do have an HOA in the area. The applicant did submit it to the HOA previously, received some comments back from the HOA, but according to the HOA, didn't actually receive an approval. He needed to make a couple changes in order to get their approval. It sounds like you won't have an issue receiving that approval from them with those changes, but he has not technically done that yet. The HOA let us know that he did contact them today and is working on that. So again, I would probably take any neighbor comments. You do have a few emails, comments in your packet. And then again, the applicant's here if you have any questions. And then probably continue it until we receive the actual approval from the HOA.
Okay. Any questions for Bryn before we move forward? Okay, seeing none, if the applicant is present and would like to come forward. Evening, if you'll begin with your name and address for the record, please.
Yeah, Abe Crony at 14638 Highfield Drive.
Thank you for being here tonight.
Thank you.
Just go ahead and give us any additional information that you have for us regarding your application.
Since we already talked about the HOA, I'll go ahead and explain that situation. I started the process with the HOA last July and went through everything. And at that time, Brett Lacey was the HOA manager for our neighborhood. I actually received an email from him telling me I was approved. Actually said, as long as you follow the guidelines below, you're approved. So in my opinion, I thought I was approved. Otherwise, that would have been handled before today. As of today, actually 3 days ago, I found out I needed to get something updated with them. Andy, who is, I'm not sure of his last name, is our HOA manager now. He was actually on vacation until today. He was great. I reached him today, talked to him, sent him the new set of plans. He called the developer. Developer looked at it, said they don't actually meet till tomorrow, but from what he can see, there shouldn't be any issue. So please keep that in mind. I didn't get a chance to get this over to you guys earlier, but here's a copy of our plot area. I went through, and actually everybody that has an X on their property, which is directly behind me and all the way around me, has 100% approval. They've actually sent me with a bunch of emails, if you care to see them, saying, hey, we're all for it. There was a few people, the way our property lines up, anybody behind us has a bit of a view above us of the mountains. So what I did is I actually took a PVC pipe and built a frame of what the house would look like, stretched string, and went to each neighbor before I even applied, just to make sure it wasn't going to block anybody, make sure they had any questions. And again, everybody, except for one person, I believe, is completely on board with it. There was two people on the end, other side of us, which would be three or four doors away, which were a little concerned about how tall the garage was going to be based on if they were going to lose their view. So the excavator you saw me unloading there is a friend of mine. So I had him bring it over, and I put the boom up to where the garage height would be. And then I went up and took pictures. I have a picture, if you'd like to see it, of
you what, can bring, yeah. You can bring that forward.
Okay.
What is the proposed height of your garage? I couldn't see it on the paperwork we had before us.
Well, per Harriman rules, it's only 16-foot mid-roof. So with a 4 and 12 pitch, 19 feet is the approximate roof height.
19 to the peak.
Yes. And if you... The top of the boom there is the would be the top of the garage peak, and then the blue outline is the approximate front and back of the garage. Okay. So that's from the highest point of the two neighbors that disagreed with the garage. I only did that to show that I'm really not blocking any view.
Okay.
Other than that, I think everything is self-explanatory. We're going to finish it exactly the same as our home, with windows and everything, so it's aesthetic.
Okay. And what is the exact proposed size of it? There was two different...
30 by 40.
What's that? 30 by 40?
Yeah, it's actually smaller than I had originally gotten, well, I thought I had gotten HOE approval on.
Was that the 1344 total square footage?
So this is now 1200.
Okay, so dropped it down just a little bit. Okay.
And again, I from what I understand, I could go with a smaller garage and not have to go through this whole thing. I'm just trying to make it 10 feet longer so I can get my RV in it. That's my
goal. I know one of the other things that I picked up on noting from your previous emails with the HOA was just the setback from your property lines.
Correct.
As far as noted on one of your plans is 5 feet and 5 feet, but I think it needs to be 7 and 7, and that'll still accommodate making those adjustments.
Yeah, so what happened actually is according, and planning would probably be able to tell me better, zoning, but I could actually get away with 5 feet if I got clearance from the utility department.
Utilities.
But 7 would be less risky because I haven't got those yet, so I'm willing to move it to 7.
Okay. Okay. Is there additional questions for the applicant?
Just if you happen to know the percentage of the backyard that this covers.
I don't have the exact percentage, but I did send it to them at one point, and I believe it was only like 17 or 18%. I'm on a 0.29 lot, and the footprint of my house is only like 1,100. So we have actually quite a bit of room.
Okay.
Okay. Additional questions for the applicant? Okay, thank you. I'll let you go and take a seat.
To me, it's the HOA approval that we need before our body can be.
Yeah. Before we can move.
I agree. I think most of it's taken care of except for that. Just
other than that, I don't see anything, and I would like to see the percentage officially.
Yeah.
But other than that, I
usually we do have pictures of, and I think we do, of the exterior in here.
I think those were the previous ones.
Yeah, and I think that's the issue, those are the previous ones. And
yeah.
So
yeah.
I think just asking that the HOA approve it before it brings it back to this body. And
yeah.
And then on the elevations, I just would like to see that the building materials do in fact match with your houses. It looked like it was more stone and stucco than lap siding. So
yeah,
we just wanted to make sure that it actually...
I did send it over to Sandra, the new set of plans,
okay,
which I just received. So I think she should have those. I've been having trouble with my email, so she didn't get them to my phone. But that does have...
That's everything. What I have.
That's the old one.
So yeah.
Yeah,
so
I have
so
them
you
on my phone.
To update it.
If you
send them, we'll be able to get them.
Okay.
And
yeah, it's all stucco.
In the updated pack.
It's all stucco. It's got, on the north side, it's got 5 big windows above the top. 16-foot garage door on the front. It's pretty close to exactly the same as what's proposed. It's just stuck on the outside.
Okay.
Thank you.
Sounds nice. Okay. Is there anyone here tonight that was wishing to make comment on this item? Okay. Thank you. I think we've provided the needed feedback on this one. We can go ahead and move to a motion on this one.
I'd like to make a motion on 2.6 to continue without date.
Okay, we have a motion to continue, and again, this is primarily for your HOA approval before this body can act.
I'll second that.
And a second by Robin. Thank you. We'll go ahead and call for the vote on this. Andrea?
Yes.
Jeremy?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Robin?
Yes.
Adam?
Yes.
And Kurt?
Yes.
Motion carries. All right, we'll move on now to item 3. These are our legislative items. We'll begin with 3.1, which is file 15016, Harriman City. This is a text change to the land use ordinance to allow chickens on lots in residential zones. We did previously open the public hearing on this item and left it open, knowing that there was going to be some additional changes to that proposed ordinance. So, Bren.
All right, and we did make changes. So based on the comments from the last meeting and some other comments in the meantime, we tightened this up a lot. We got rid of a lot of the regulations because, as was discussed, it was pretty intense before. So we tried to eliminate the ones that we just really thought were too much.
Free the chickens is what I'm hearing.
and just minimize it as much as we can. So, again, the main points, again, still no roosters. We did have some discussion about the rear yard, side yard, and then, again, the distance from adjacent homes. So the numbers, I changed all these numbers based on our conversation at the last meeting. If you remember, it was like 2, 4, 6, 8. So I did the minimum 4, 6, 10. Again, these could be changed. You could however you would like. And then again, this is all the same. We just removed a lot of the stuff that we didn't think we needed. So we did leave the public hearing open. We did post this new draft on the website. So again, you can see if there's any additional comments. Give me any additional comments. This will be a recommendation to the City Council. So.
Okay. Thank you, Bryn. Is there any additional questions for Bryn at this point? Okay. Seeing none. Again, this item, the public hearing on this item was opened on August the 18th. So we will invite anyone up at this point that has any additional comments to make in regards to the proposed ordinance, land use ordinance to allow chickens in residential areas. So please feel free to come forward at this time. Okay. Seeing none, we'll go ahead and close the public hearing on this item. Turn it back to members of the Planning Commission for further discussion. I'll give my opinion on this. I think we've made some good changes in here from the last time that we met. We've, I think, identified really and kept only the significant or the most important aspects of this in here in terms of how the ordinance and the governing aspects of that ordinance. I think we've seen we've had a lot of people demonstrate in our community that these can be kept and be maintained on our residential lots without impacting their neighbors. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of potential good that comes from that. So personally, I'm in favor, and I'm the changes that we made to the numbers, I'm good with that, with it currently as it stands in the ordinance. So yep. I think the only thing that we did talk about in the work meeting would be the in terms of
how far it
the
is.
Distance, and that was under
B and D, right?
10.
Yeah. It was D, 10D.
10 B and D were the two items that were discussed. Yeah. And Adam had a great suggestion, which I think was appropriate in there, and that was to basically be saying no enclosures will be permitted in a front yard and must be kept behind a fence. And I thought that that was a good item that I would be in favor of, and then reducing that 40-foot to allow a little more flexibility in some of, again, those smaller, the 5,000 square foot lots. 40 would be a little hard, I think, in terms of some of those to allow an appropriate position of where they're kept on that. And personally, 25 to 30, I'm good in that range.
What's our setback from the street to the homes? Because that'll give me a curious.
In a regular subdivision, it's 25 feet. In a lot of the smaller lots, it can be, it's usually 20 feet because the driveway is usually 20
yeah.
feet. So.
Yeah. I was just trying to get a gauge in my mind of how far that is from this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think 40 feet is a little far.
Yeah, I don't want to go below 25, but I think it gives a little bit of flexibility. And
again, this that distance is from dwellings on adjacent properties.
Agreed.
So
right.
Again, that allows them to bring it, to put it as close to their own home as they want,
right.
As long as we're not impacting the neighbors around. So.
Agreed.
I'm okay with that.
Okay. Other comments?
I think it's ready for...
Good.
Yeah.
Go chickens.
And this is just recommendation.
This would be a recommendation to the City Council, who will have the final decision on this item.
Who would like to be the chicken person?
Coralie already has that title. That's not a derogative. That's because she has been advocating on behalf of the chickens for some time now, and we appreciate that.
I can make a motion. So motion, and this is 3.1, which is 15Z16, a recommendation to the City Council to approve with one change, which is stating, or two changes, in 10B, change that to only the no enclosures will be permitted in any front yard, and in 10D, changing the, recommending the change to make that all chicken coops should be placed at least 25 feet from any dwelling on an adjacent lot.
So can I clarify on B?
Please.
So B says shall be contained entirely in the rear yard.
By a fence. Behind a fence.
But then we're removing front yard. So just we're saying they can be in the side yard?
As long as it's 25 feet.
And behind a fence?
And behind a fence.
Behind a fence. And I'll second that.
Which very few places will that will accommodate, but there will be some large lots that can do that.
So if you just add in the first sentence,
behind a fence.
So it'll be contained entirely behind a fence?
Yes. And then no enclosures will be permitted in
any
the front yard.
In any front yard. So just taking up
that will make it clear.
Entirely.
So does the behind the fence, is that not captured in A within an enclosure or fenced area at all times?
Think
or are we talking about the enclosure?
The enclosure.
That's the chicken. Behind chicken.
Oh, that's the little chicken coop. Yeah, that's the little.
And the chicken coop has to be behind their fence.
You can't let them just run around your yard.
Yeah,
you have to be in a chicken coop as well.
And the chicken coop has to be behind the fence,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yes.
Like a vinyl fence or whatever, right?
Yes.
So how does that impact existing? So my next door neighbor has his chickens in the side yard. They are more than 25 feet from our house, but they're not behind a fence. Is he going to have to put up a fence?
So the difference is, your neighborhood is zoned agricultural.
Oh, it is.
So your requirements are different.
So I should get a cow.
You can have a cow.
Okay.
Well, you don't have a half an acre, so
okay.
You can have a cow. But you can have chickens.
I got you.
This would be in residential zone specifically. Mm-hmm. So it is, trust me, it'll be super awesome for staff to regulate this, but it's good.
So
that would just be.
It's a different zoning.
So
what she said with yours.
So
are there residents that are
existing illegal chickens?
And then are they going to have to put up a fence? Is that
yes?
Is
if they want to be legal,
yes.
Okay.
If they want to be legal, they would have to be
in the R zones. So
okay.
they're in violation of the ordinance currently.
They're already in violation.
Okay,
yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Yes. So our last applicant, if they choose to have chickens after this ordinance is approved, they actually could because they're in an R zone.
The last. The garage we just looked at was in an R zone.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Even
yes,
though he's 0.29 acres, it's a really large lot. Mm-hmm. They legally cannot have chickens unless this ordinance gets improved.
So
correct.
Okay.
Can I make it say? I'm just trying to think about reading this in 2 years and be like, what were we talking about? It's always totally clear when we're talking about
on the night of, correct?
Yeah, and maybe just say chicken enclosures must be contained entirely behind a fence. I mean, I think I just want to say in the side or rear yard.
That's fine.
But I know that's what we mean, but I just, and then have the next one just be, but will not be, you know, in the front yard.
I think that's fine.
I'm okay with that. I'm making a motion for what you just said.
Uh-huh. In the side or rear.
Okay, so.
The council's going to change the whole thing anyway.
For recommendation, exactly. Do I need to? Are we good?
So we still have a motion with everything.
We have a motion by
still a second.
Okay.
And a second by Adam
that,
with some wordsmithing on those two items. So, okay, we will call for the vote on this. Andrea?
Yes.
Jeremy?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Robin?
Yes.
Adam?
Yes.
And Kurt?
Yes.
That motion carries.
And of course, I'm kidding. The council is not going to change any of this because it's
never.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
It is now
your hands now.
In the council's hands.
Those illegal chickens are all
don't encourage it.
Moving on. We will now go to item 3.2 in our agenda. This is file 14Z16, Harriman City. Text change to the land use ordinance to create a technology and manufacturing zone. Again, this public hearing was opened on August the 4th and remains open, anticipating some
yes, sorry
changes to the ordinance
the
as we continue
thing made
to
me
refine.
Makes me miss Mike Day. He would have had comments anyway. Technology and manufacturing zone. We had this public hearing, like you said, opened a month or so ago to do a little bit of digging into it, and we made a few changes to the uses. There really wasn't any changes to the rest of it. Again, this would require a master plan. It would require a development agreement. It would require a zoning condition when we get to a specific piece of property that they want to zone. We would then look and say, you can and cannot do these uses on this specific property. And so, again, we're open to changing the uses. However, really, like I said, and I agree, the outside storage, we really only kept for any use that may have, you know, but like I said, we don't want that as a main use. We don't want that as a big use either. So we could probably take that or leave it. And then the, what was it we were looking at? The manufacturing. And again, I think if we're talking technology, medical type manufacturing, I don't think that's the concern. And again, you could have that with a data center in a, you know, in a park like that. And we're specifically prohibiting food-related manufacturing. You know, we're not looking for stinky manufacturing, just tech-type stuff. So, again, we're probably the uses are probably the biggest thing we're looking at. The rest of it will be handled with a master plan. There's a lot of landscaping requirements, fencing requirements, you know, 8-foot precast wall, all that kind of stuff is in there. Yeah, so any questions of me? We're not looking at a specific property right now. We're just creating the zone.
Just the zone.
Yes.
We did make a change on the zoning condition, that it would be the development adjacent to the area opposed to residential.
And I would even maybe just add one more word in there. I would say, let me get back to the zoning, not compatible with
the adjacent area?
Existing adjacent uses.
See, and I would almost say not just existing, because what if it's future residential?
Oh, yeah. What is zoned for?
That's a good point.
What is zoned for? Developments.
Yeah.
Proposed developments.
Just with existing adjacent uses. Or not existing, just adjacent.
Proposed or adjacent uses. Yeah. What is zoned for?
Not compatible with adjacent.
Well, what is general plan for? Because it might not be zoned for anything.
Yeah. Yes, what is the general plan is. That makes sense.
So maybe we say with, compatible with existing uses, or something about the general plan. Or,
you get the intent of what we're going
with
there.
I totally get the intent,
And there's two other areas that I was curious if you would put in here, or if it needs to be in this, or if it's looked at differently. But one's the sound pollution that may be caused. I don't know if there's something you add in and how you would do it, or even if that's something we even worry about. But I know that's something that probably should be considered in some way. I just don't know what other cities have done with that. And then the other thing is maybe defining routes of trucks beforehand, to where, and that might be in the master agreement that this is truck routes or something. So
we do have defined truck routes in the city, you know, so they can't go down residential roads and that kind of thing. And we certainly could look at that. Maybe, right there. Maybe that's something we added to the master plan, because we have all those other, just the specific transportation.
We could tighten up maybe the language under purpose of provisions there, that where it says these areas are to be located in proximity to adequate transportation facilities and infrastructure. Mm-hmm. You know, we might just be able to tighten up the language there.
Yeah.
A little bit, because I think the intent is there.
Sure.
That we do want them adjacent to those identified truck routes. It's just.
Correct.
Right.
What is the proper.
And the other thing, well, going back to the sound pollution as well, I'm wondering if that may determine some of the materials for some of these buildings. If this is this use, there's a higher amount of industrial sound or whatever that may occur, and I wonder if that will determine some of the materials that are used for the building of these facilities. And I don't know that. And so I'm just thinking if we build something and there's residential next to it, and we start getting complaints because it's loud until 10 or 11, or they have a third shift even, that's occurring.
And right now, you know, everything falls under the health department requirements, which would be 10 o'clock, you know, at night and those kind of things. One of the other things to think about is these are all conditional uses. So they all have to mitigate. One of the specific things in conditional uses that we look at is sound or noise.
And light.
Dust, light, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, okay.
So that would all under the, would fall under that as well.
And that's fine.
And look, it's certainly specifically pointed out, though.
Each time we go through this.
Right.
And I don't know if it needs to be added somewhere, so it is.
Let me give you a little bit of, honestly, sound is not something that really emanates typically from these too often. It isn't
so
much.
It's not usually an issue.
Yeah. That would probably be more if it was the trucking, you know.
The truck piece would be sound, and that would be during the normal day as we're doing deliveries.
Yeah.
So to be honest, sound's not. But I agree, it needs to be looked at with each application.
Yeah.
Because it depends if you have generators or not, kind of thing.
It's in the first.
Is that?
It's in the first. It's in 10XX-1, purpose of provisions.
Oh, it's right there. It is.
And then, I mean, were we going to talk about, because I think some of these categories definitely need to be more of a light industrial and not in this category, which would make a different zone or a zone we currently have
that has these
added into it. Because there's so many different categories, I think the community is going to have an issue. So I can have any of these in this zone. I think we're going to have a little backlash if we can't get them a little more specific
again,
of what's allowed in these.
That part of it is the process it has to go through and identifying the potential right uses for the area. And again, we get back to that part of it where it talks about the zoning condition.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And, you know, compatible with, again, I'm not sure the terminology there, with existing or future uses as shown on the general plan.
Oh, there you go. Good job.
See, I just pulled that out of nowhere. That was great.
So, but, I mean, isn't there two or three of these that probably could be pulled off of this regardless?
Yeah.
What ones do you want to pull?
Well, I'm looking at commercial storage or distribution. And you guys tell me if maybe I'm thinking of this in the wrong way. Because I'm thinking trucking's coming through and out of that pretty consistently. The potential light manufacturing and assembly, because like them bringing products in consistently would probably be trucking too. I don't know about outdoor storage or materials, and I don't know about medical research facility. I assume the medical would be fine. I don't know about the outdoor storage materials, because if they're doing a lumber yard, they're going to have trucks all the time coming out.
Well, remember, this is for products and equipment that are incidental to the allowed use inside. So it's going to be...
I agree.
My reading of that is...
So would that be okay or...
I think in this one, it's okay, personally.
I understand your concern, Chris, but I think it has to be in there based on the type of...
No,
use that
so some of these are question marks. I don't know.
No, and I agree. I understand where you're coming from.
You guys have a little more experience on some of these.
I completely agree. I think that we just need to regulate that through the process. But I think that's a great point.
And my only question on the manufacturing is, again, if it is...
Depends.
I don't know. Microchip manufacturing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If that's what the use you want here, next to the data center, next to the office building, if it wasn't, I mean, what would you call it? I guess how could you define that differently?
And I don't know. I'm looking at the ones that in my mind are thinking these might have consistent trucks going in and out, which I think would be more in a light industrial zone.
And I really agree with
this.
You. It's
and
the
so that's
what
I'm not sure. I'm not sure. I'm trying to better understand which ones, because I know if we were to just post and say, hey, this can go in the zone, people would have a million questions of, I don't want this, or this, unless we can define it better of what that means.
I'm not disagreeing with you, Chris, but I think if we do pull that out, we need to change the name of the ordinance from technology and manufacturing.
And that's possible. That's possible. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know.
And maybe you call it like
the technology zone.
Technology manufactured. I don't know, you know, if there's a better way to tighten that.
Yeah, and I don't know.
I'm looking down, and medical, to me, is not part of this, just the way I look at it.
Medical, what,
are you
the clinics? You talked about that.
Yes, anything with medical in it, to be honest.
Because there might be
medical.
There might be three out of here instead of
research. I don't know.
Give me an
if it's medical manufacturing or making
dentures.
Yes.
Yes, exactly. But most of that stuff starts getting into pretty processy stuff. If you're making things like that, like Merit Medical or something like that. They have stuff they make. I mean,
and so to me, you'd be surprised where some of those types of facilities that have a lot of processy stuff, but it's on a very small scale, talking dentures and those types of things. Those I can tell you exist in areas that you would never even know they do with a daycare next door.
Yeah,
and you know, and a sandwich shop next door.
Well, you talked me into it, except for the clinics.
I agree.
We have enough clinics.
You talked about that last
time. We talked about that last time.
And again, my only concern was if it's a 300-acre park, could you not have some kind of retail, that kind of stuff, you know, on the periphery along your major roads? And then all your...
You could have another zone next to it, right?
You could have that in a different zone.
And
right.
So that's my... Well, yeah. I'd rather go with another zone.
Put a commercial on the outside or something.
Exactly.
Or else if you had a large entity that's there, they may offer clinics within their... To their
if it's
employees.
A large facility, yeah.
So I don't think that would prohibit them as part of...
To me,
it's not as part of that, I wouldn't think.
To me, if something's drawing to here,
really
for this zone
service.
Only... There's other zones that can be put in to help buffer between it and residential.
Yeah.
Right.
And like you said, like we've talked about, nobody has this zone.
Correct.
So when they come to do it, they could do that at the same time. So we're going to do this piece, this.
Correct.
And then we'll do the outside commercial or office or whatever, you know, specifically for.
So I would like to pull it down to a little bit more more of that.
Again, that gets back to a master plan for the whole site.
Correct.
Yeah.
That's done all at the same time.
So which we're requiring as well.
We're requiring.
And then the last one, warehousing and the wholesale distribution.
You can take that one out.
Yeah.
Like I said, that's the trucks. That's the traffic.
What about printing and publishing?
Do they still do that?
I think so.
What was that?
Printing and
publishing.
Publishing was his question.
We can take that one out, honestly.
Yeah.
I don't think that's...
I'm just asking a question.
Yeah.
Just throwing this out, again, it may be appropriate in another zone.
That's
but
what I'm thinking.
If we get Amazon, they're not printing
it. A Kinko's.
Yeah.
So I don't think that's...
So, you know,
Kinko's
are...
There's Facebook.
It's like a little... Yeah.
So, you know, that's what I'm saying is if you take it out completely, are we going to make provisions for it and make that be part of another zone?
My only concern is if we take it out, then we're taking it out of the master plan, though, too.
Correct.
We're saying plan it separately from the rest of the property.
To be honest, the printing, I've seen data centers. So the way that commercial data centers are developed nowadays is they're a commodity. They're like a commercial development, and they sell off pieces. And I've seen data centers that have printing capabilities on their site with a huge data center. And that's part of it.
Either way.
Well, the data center just happens to lease it to another computer IT component that wants to print or wants to make ink cartridges.
In my mind,
like
I'm just saying a true printing and publishing company is not necessarily something we want there. I mean, I get the Kinko's and the smaller, but I'm talking about a full-blown commercial press.
Like a
that's not something
like
we
a newspaper
want.
Yeah, or whatever.
I could see that. So I think what we're trying to say is the uses that support the light manufacturing, I mean, that's kind of what we're talking about. If it's a use that supports it, then that's not as, we're a little more amenable to that. But if it's a standalone use, like warehousing and wholesale distribution, if we were to say that by itself is bad, but if a data center comes in and needs a small piece of their property to have wholesale and
whatever
warehousing
to support that
that industry
sense. That makes sense.
That's okay, but
agreed.
To be a standalone entity of you know,
so maybe add it just like we get on the outside storage. Just say warehousing and distribution incidental to you know another use.
Correct.
Incidental to a larger.
I think that's
use.
Fine.
Yeah.
And that's where I think the medical clinics just don't really fit. I get the idea.
We can take that one out.
It's a big deal, but. That one to me, some of those amenities, like even, I mean,
there's
state store and
that,
schools
yeah.
and vocational. I don't know if we're. I mean, what's a
no,
state
I
store?
No, I have a state store.
What is
what
falls in
state
store?
It's a liquor store.
Liquor store.
That's a. Okay.
So, I just think we should take those out.
So take.
Medical.
So should we?
So either talk about it or make a motion or do something. I'll start crossing things off. I'm just saying, because I don't want to
You want to want to write
Crossings off unofficially.
I support that.
To officially say something.
I think we want to. We're going to need to continue it.
Oh, you're killing me.
Unless you guys want to make a motion, it's up to you.
If it's just the uses, is there anything else? Let me ask. Is there anything else?
No.
There's
a lot of uses.
Roman brought up
the zoning condition.
The transportation piece that was under that first paragraph that we talked about.
Robin brought up.
Trying to tie that. Again, I think the intent is there, but trying to tie that a little. Maybe.
So what I'm going
to
do on that one is under those master plan requirements. Well, there is CD says parking areas and vehicle access to the site. Can I just say including truck routes and transportation corridors or something like that?
On which one are you looking at?
On under master plan.
10-7.
And it lists those like six requirements under there. That, you know, these are the things the master plan should include. Yeah. So under D, it says parking areas and vehicle access to the site. Either add it there or just add another one, G. It's, you know, adjacent transportation and truck routes or something like that.
Then, yeah, that was the one we talked about, the zoning. I think you got that already under the zoning condition talking about compatible with existing.
Compatible with existing or future uses as shown on the general plan.
Mm-hmm. Can you give me one clarification on ...20% of the total site landscape, and then it talks about the 10% reduction.
Yeah.
Is that 10% of the 20%, or does that cut that 20% in half?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's a little late for me, so I'll clarify.
Is it 2% or 10%?
It's up to 10%. No, it cuts it in half, so we're saying 10%. Okay. So you get it with only 10%.
So 50% decrease.
Yes.
Get a 50%. Okay, I am not okay with that.
No, not either.
I think
that's too
much.
You're right, that does say up to 10%.
Yeah, I don't think that, you know, including a connection to a master plan trail should give you a 50% reduction in your required
open space.
We
could just say a reduction without putting any kind of...
A
reduction may be granted.
Yeah, because for me, honestly...
You're going to expect them to do that without a reduction.
Yes. If there's a trail nearby, they're going to connect to it, and they're not going to get a reduction
like it.
For
it. It's required.
So, again, even just putting in a gazebo, they could be like, well, here's a gazebo. It's only for our employees, but here's a gazebo, you know. So, and again, I think if we were looking at a reduction, we need to really think about how much of a reduction we're willing to give. Because, again, this type of site, I'm not going to be willing to give a ton of reduction in that. Because, again, this is put in there to help.
That's the most important part, honestly, is the landscaping.
Soften the site and help it integrate into the surrounding uses. So that's why I was asking. I was having a hard time discerning whether that 10% really equated to 2%.
You're right. No, you're right. That's a good clarification. We could just strike that whole thing if you wanted to. That whole...
Yeah, just say developers should try and incorporate amenities like these.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
Not should try, but should.
Shall.
Shall incorporate.
All of the above. I think they'll catch that. Just kidding.
So we're starting to get into a lot of things, Bryn.
I know. Just continue. Make a motion and give me that. Yeah.
So
let's continue to get additional feedback.
Should we go through the uses and just, I mean, that one seems like, I agree, it's hard for you. And I
took out some and I added some. So again, just give me super.
So to me, like.
And I realize that we talked about this in depth last time, but the more I think about it, the more.
That's why we keep continuing it.
Exactly.
Just working
the more.
We know that. There's always those unintended consequences that come up with these as you do it, as much as you try and think about it. And the more that I think about it, I keep coming up with these, and I think that's important. I think we want to take the time and get it right.
Absolutely.
And so.
Because the intent in this, when we say technology and manufacturing, just so I make sure everyone else's expectations, we kind of mean manufacturing of technology type stuff, correct?
Yes.
We don't mean general
manufacturing.
We should just take out the and.
Yeah. So to me... If we look at the uses again, agricultural,
you're right.
That there's no reason for that. Archery shop, no reason for that.
Right.
I don't see a benefit there.
If I see everybody nodding, I'm just going to start crossing.
Does everybody agree?
Off.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay with that.
Building maintenance, you're going to need that because that's how you operate those kind of facilities. Cemetery and mortuary, I don't see that being in this use. It'll be in a different
type
of use.
Zone. Gotcha.
Commercial recreational facilities, again, I can't think of anything. I mean, that's like a.
Well, like RSL falls under that. You know what I mean? You're talking a.
Yeah, but that also falls
like
under
indoor climbing. Gym,
what about a yeah,
like
a soccer
oh
city or
a
something
big soccer,
like that?
Yeah,
where
something
where
like
does that.
That
fit more appropriately? And I, again,
yeah, I don't know.
I agree with you that
does that work next to a
data center?
That's what came to my mind.
Does that all work in the same park?
I don't know.
Well,
I don't think
REI
so.
REI is in commercial when they have their climbing wall.
Yeah,
they are just commercial, huh?
I think that's more of another type of use, to be honest. From if we're going for technology and manufacturing.
Yeah. I mean, if they want to incorporate it, we could do it on an individual basis if they have some.
They're going to be housed in probably similar type buildings,
right.
I think, is where you get the – take Airborne over.
Yeah.
In
I can see that.
You know, that I think that now that they are in the entire building, that's not where they started, but they were in a building that was built for, I think, uses that we're kind of going for here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And that's what's in there. And again, I don't know if it's right or wrong, but that's, again, I think they're in some of those, they're looking for those bigger open type spaces for these.
So don't strike that one.
Types
okay.
of uses.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
Commercial storage and distribution. I think yes, to be if it's.
What
if
does that have to be tied to?
If it's tied
else?
To the
so
main.
Should we use the phrase that's on the other one, which is incidental to and allowed
yes.
use?
Yeah,
conference
like
centers,
okay with it.
Convention centers, and reception centers. I don't think
I don't either.
They belong in this zone.
You don't think you might have a big convention center in some kind of office park?
I don't see this as an office park.
Because they're gonna if they're going to be a convention center, they're going to have other reasons. They're
going
to have amenities
to
pull people
right,
to it.
They're going
to
need to be housed by
hotels. Down, what's that by? That's by commercial.
That's all commercial.
It's going to be by commercial, so that's why I think pull it up. Convenience stores, absolutely. They're going to need convenience stores. Data centers. Financial institution and services. Is that like...
That's like a bank. Credit union?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
So they can have the 7-Eleven, but not the bank.
I just think of too many of them. I do.
Does the 7-Eleven have an ATM?
I don't think we need it in that zone. But if it's a financial, and this is something I've seen in West Valley, they have a financial institution that processes all your check payments, and that to me makes sense for a financial institution,
like a credit card processing center.
Processing center or something like that, or American
Express,
or Express,
or Discover.
But as far as a bank, you know what?
Oh, I don't know how you
is that financial services versus institutions?
Yeah.
I think that's what you do. You just take out financial institutions, just put financial services.
Done.
Just looking for nods.
Yeah.
Nods, done.
Done.
Greenhouse and nursery, it's not in this zone, in my opinion.
I agree. That can be commercial.
I mean, we have other zones. I mean, that's the whole purpose of communities, have other zones rather than one zone that can do everything.
Okay. Here, Adam, doing a lot of talking. Anybody else?
How about this? Health and fitness club. I think yes. I think some of these will have on site.
Chris got his in there.
I agree.
Yes,
I actually agree with him.
Sweet. I got an agreement.
Hotels, motels. I say take it out.
What zone would that
go in?
Somebody
wanted
to build a hotel. I would let them build it wherever they wanted to.
That one
do
I
we not have a zone that it currently fits under right
it,
now?
It can fit under a lot
under
of commercials.
Commercial.
But I actually think hotels might be an advantage because you could be right on
data
the...
Center.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you have a large company, typically you have outside companies fly in to meet with them on a regular basis.
And remote employees.
Correct.
And
they go weeks at a time.
Yeah. Sorry.
And they do stay for weeks when they're doing products or other things.
pieces of October. Yes.
Okay. I'm okay with that one.
Okay.
Laboratories, that makes sense to me.
Yeah.
I'm good.
Jeremy, you talk because I've been told I talk too much. Go ahead.
I'll let you know if I disagree with you.
I think we've already talked about the light manufacturing piece
correct.
Of that.
I think that's good.
Decided, though,
I think that's in light industrial, in my opinion.
But then again, if I want to be a micro chip processor,
I think we leave it in because I think there's applications that fit here. And yeah, again, that has to be clearly outlined and defined in the conditional use process. Yeah.
I definitely get what you're saying. The
part that I worry about is light manufacturing because we know developers, we know individuals that come in and they want to fit everything into a category like this. So we have to have it more defined if we're going to do it. And I think half of the definition is just the amount of trucks that come in and out of there. And I don't know how to say that.
We can
still a specific light manufacturing specific to technology though, right? And not
we could define it to technology and I would have no problem with that.
I mean, because in reality you're going to get the light manufacturing, if you exclude it you're not going to get the toner plants and the printers and all that kind of stuff. So light manufacturing, they do have to process those kind of things. So
Does that fall into our industrial though, or does that fall into the other categories?
No, are they going to want some of that next to the data center? A lot of those uses.
Would they put a zone array next to it or not? I mean, I don't know.
We also want it in the same master plan so that they have connected sidewalks and landscaping and trails.
I just see how this could be so stretched with how it's defined right now, and that's what I worry about.
Yeah. Again, we can prohibit additional. Or we could say specifically including technology and, you know, how
I can see it start off one thing and end up completely different as time goes on. Well, this is light manufacturing by definition.
I'm okay with it, to be honest.
Do you see it?
Well, we're certainly going to see it when the time comes.
When it comes.
Yeah.
And when it comes and we know what it is at that time probably... We'll ZC it and say light manufacturing for
this type of use.
Right.
Whatever it is.
I can see where you're concerned, but I think the food and the smells are covered.
That's one of the biggest.
As well as the glares and the noise. And I think you kind of, I almost think we have enough in there that you could take care of almost any type of manufacturing, depending on the type of use. Even allowing us a little bit of flexibility to even control data centers and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's fine. I'm okay with it.
I'm only one voice, as Blade used to say, or whoever.
An important voice.
Medical and dental clinics.
I think we've ruled on that one.
No.
Did we don't remind me?
No.
No. No? Okay.
Facilities, yes. Right? We already did that. The monopoles and that one just... You need to have the flexibility, to be honest. So, offices and professional, they're going to go hand in hand.
Yep.
Right.
Outdoor storage materials, incidental.
Incidental.
Yep.
Printing and published facilities. I can't remember. We talked about that with the news. I didn't know people actually produce newspapers anymore.
Jeremy had a pin.
I don't think we want it in there.
Okay.
We don't?
I really don't care. No. I don't have perspective.
Okay, I'll take it out.
The public and quasi-public.
We got to have that.
Research and development facilities, those typically go hand in hand.
Yeah,
restaurants.
That's what we want.
Schools and vocational. I don't think so.
I was going to say I actually do.
Touche.
I do too.
I think it's fine. Not to say there might not be a more appropriate zone for that, but again, if you're talking this light technology industrial, there could be some
synergy there.
Well, that's also like USU has their executive MBA program at Point of the Mountain.
Agreed.
And at Thanksgiving Point. So
the only reason you clarified, not the prison.
No, Thanksgiving.
At that point.
The only reason I say no is my fear would be we get a large developer that comes in, we get the zone, and then that data center doesn't choose to go to that city or our city, and we now are stuck with the zone, and then we get somebody just trying to put a school there to suck up the land. And so that's my only concern.
But again, I think we can give ourselves a lot of protection through the ZC on that, through the conditional use. If that comes in and they're saying this is the use for it, we could ZC it to such, and if it doesn't end up being that, then they have to go through the process to change it to whatever it is they want to put in.
And how I envision this happening is all at the same time, likely we're not going to zone it until we know what it is.
Right.
And I think we're going to probably zone it, master plan it, and development agreement it.
Oh, about the same
time. At the same time, and the development agreement will basically say, if you don't do this, this zone is done.
This is out.
You're not. You start over.
I agree.
I think that's how John will magically make that happen. Yeah.
Yep.
Good.
So, moving on, sounds like keep it in. State store?
We can take it out.
No, I don't know what that is.
The liquor store.
No. Commercial area only. Temporary construction building areas, that's applicable.
To have
sales offices, that's going to be applicable. And the other one is going to be applicable, to be honest. And I think we could tie it to
contingency.
That was incidental.
We can make it incidental.
You can do it.
Yeah,
incidental.
I think so.
Let's make it incidental.
Yep.
So we just went through your list.
I appreciate it. Now, are there any that we're missing?
Oh, that's not.
Give me an example.
And Heather and I went through this. So we pulled up the M1 zone, we pulled up the C2 zone, and we kind of like went through like what else. And that's where some of these got pulled in. I
honestly can't think of anything off myself.
We're talking office, we're talking data centers, we're talking some warehousing, some manufacturing. I mean, it's all there.
Flexibility, and we're excluding food, so I think we're okay.
Yeah.
And the only other thing in the coverage restrictions, 10XX10, when they mention accessory buildings, do we need to establish a standard of what that is, or will that be in the master agreement? Because I'm not opposed to even the 70% or anything like that. I'm opposed to seeing 30% of these buildings being these tin roof buildings that are thrown up. And I mean, is there some standard that has to be established for those? Yeah. And I don't know.
Well, accessory indicates that it's going to be obviously a support and smaller than the main use.
Right.
Yeah, most of these facilities will be tilt-up construction.
Yep.
Yeah.
So they won't be the
And we specifically prohibit metal buildings under somewhere.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the way that they built this,
the design criteria,
the way that they want as much space in the building as possible.
As much
square. So they're just like gigantic Walmart kind of open field.
I just want to make sure that we don't see accessory buildings that don't really fit into the standard of what we would like. That's it.
Yeah. But you are going to see a lot of accessory buildings with these kind of things.
Yeah, depending on the use.
Just depending on the use, you're going to have heating and cooling areas, electrical areas, whole bunches of stuff.
Maybe we just basically say that the accessory buildings have to match the existing construction of the main use.
Yeah, and there's nothing specifically.
I just know when
if we said all accessory buildings shall.
I see some of these different light industrial, whatever, and they have some accessory buildings that are not.
What if we say all buildings, including accessories, come back for planning commission approval? Because then you have some.
Well, they do. So under 10XX14, and that's where the design criteria is.
Then I think we're good.
So again,
if that
retail development has to meet the retail criteria, which is the 60% brick or stone.
Correct.
All the other, so any manufacturing, warehousing, or whatever, it was approved as part of the master plan. So you're approving all the elevations.
Yeah. Okay.
And again, metal buildings are specifically prohibited.
So that's including all accessory buildings,
that's
period.
Anything.
Okay.
Yep.
I think we remember the brick percentages are probably not going to be that high on this.
Right.
They're not. We saw Gordon and I went and saw a tilt-up building. If I can remember what it was, I would tell you. Where they put brick in it. It's really cool. Apparently, like, they lay the brick and then...
Yeah, you can thin brick it.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
Yeah.
So we're, like, convinced that's...
I'm just saying, percentage-wise,
get
that out of our mind.
And again, that's why we tried to still say, we told them to say, accents should be used where possible, around the front, wherever they can. But yeah, they're not going to have it.
You did make notes in terms of the landscaping percentage requirements, right? I got 10%.
I'm just taking that thing out. I'm going to say, put all these in, the planning commission will like it.
Yeah.
And then list those things. That's, yeah.
Well, just one question is the 50% of landscaping areas shall be planted. What was the concept behind that?
That's what our ordinance says right now. So we took it from that. Let me look at where it says that.
I'm just saying, usually.
They didn't want just rock and stuff and brick and stamps them in. Isn't that what it was
for? Yeah, so I think it's basically, yeah, you got to have
live
landscaping. Okay. And then two there, where it talks about the berm, it said, the way our ordinance reads right now in commercial zones is that a berm, like, may be required. We made it a requirement for a berm along the outside, yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Now, before I get too far on this, I need to make sure, because it is open for public hearing. So, if anyone is here that would like to comment on this item as part of the public hearing that remains open, please come forward.
Here we go.
All right.
Greg Polson of 13657 South, 6315 West. I appreciate what I'm hearing here because before, the way this plant was evolving, it was really ambiguous. And I appreciate what I'm hearing here where you're narrowing it down, winnowing out what could go in this zone. I'm kind of in the agreement here with Chris that there's some ambiguity with the light manufacturing. I don't know if there's any regulations that would prevent, say, for example, extrusions that a manufacturing plant would do, and how high these extrusions would be, and how many extrusions they would put out in their parking lot, things like that. Sometimes like a welding place where they're manufacturing trailers and things like that. You could have trailers stacked, you know, 3 or 4 feet high. Who knows? Forklifts back and forth. Steel extrusions dropping and falling on the concrete, making lots of noise. I mean, there's a lot of things to consider with light manufacturing. Having worked near one before, sometimes they open up bay doors because it gets hot in the building, and so you can hear all the chop saws going and, you know, cutting aluminum and things like that. Things like that can occur. So I really think we need to continue on with winnowing it down. If we need to create another zone, perhaps, that's maybe, you know, you have a technology zone, a manufacturing zone, maybe separate it out a little bit. But I appreciate what I'm hearing here. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate you being here and sticking with us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Since there's nobody else here to comment. You're going to get your chance. Is everyone comfortable based on the feedback that we've given tonight if we go ahead and close the public hearing on this item?
I think so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we will officially close the public hearing on item 3.2 at this time. Any additional feedback that we haven't covered, if anyone would like to provide to Bryn? I think we've done quite enough.
Yeah. Just following up on the light manufacturing, just more definition to it, I think.
Look at that and see if you can, I think it's appropriate to look at it and see if
I think
there's a way to define it.
I think we can define it in the
what
category.
Like
I don't want to take it out, yeah. But I think if we can.
I can look at it both ways. So, but.
Okay, we'll see if we can clarify that a little more.
Okay, any other comments on this item? Good discussion. Appreciate everyone. It's obvious that everyone is taking the time to read their packet, to study this issue, and to come prepared to discuss it. And that's what needs to happen to make this process work and be effective. So appreciate everyone doing that. I will entertain a motion on this item.
I move to continue item 3.2, 14Z16.
Second. Whoa, we had like 4 seconds right there. Got a motion to continue by Adam and
without date.
Without date.
And we'll. I heard Robin on a second on that one, so we'll go with that one. Okay, we will call for the vote on this. Kurt?
Yes.
Adam?
Yes.
Robin?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Jeremy?
Yes.
And Andrea?
Yes.
That motion carries. That item will be continued. Is there any additional items to be brought before this body tonight by members of the Planning Commission?
I just have one. You know, we talked about it in the pre-meeting, but we really, I think, need to spend some time on home occupations in tight density. I'm really worried we're getting into positions where we don't have much to stand on, and I think we need something.
There you
go. What was that? Sorry.
I really want to go. So right now we have home occupations, which can't have employees, and which can't use any structures outside of the building, so you can't, like, do cabinet making in your detached garage. But then we have what's called home occupations and agricultural zones, which we used to call special home occupations, which can come to you, and it allows them to have, like, one employee and use an outside building, so it's cabinet making or whatever. What we discovered, though, is that there are a lot of people who have larger lots that are not in agricultural zones. So you could, in Rose Creek, for example, you could have an acre's lot and want to use your back garage for cabinet making, but you technically can't.
Correct.
Because you're in a residential zone. So
and a smaller agricultural.
And a smaller agricultural lot could do it, and you could be less than a quarter of an acre. Anyway, so we're going to clarify that to basically say we're talking about probably a third acre or larger.
Okay.
Could do that with a special home occupation. So all at once.
Home occupation.
If we want to do it together, honestly, I think we've had so many of these. We get about one every quarter. And
at least.
If not more.
And I'm worried we're going to.
We get one that has concerns expressed. I know they're getting much more than that.
Every day.
And so I actually think we need to try and. I don't know that we can get all of that in one home occupation, but if you can, that's great. I think we at least need to focus on.
You guys wonder why the parking ordinance isn't getting done?
It and the parking are my number one and two priorities.
Yeah, there's definitely
the other home occupation I get, but. You know what?
Not as pressing.
We don't get as many complaints of those things.
Yeah.
This is
you're right. No,
these
you're
are
right.
The two that are it and parking are what we face every planning.
So, and I don't know if I'm pretty sure I told you guys this that we've
I cringe. When
we've got a contract with an attorney now who's doing the whole update of the whole ordinance for us.
Oh, cool.
It's going to be intense but awesome. We've already met with him. John and I have, and going over it. And his huge focus is process. And having everything in the ordinance and every process that you have needs to be in the ordinance and be clearly defined.
Good.
So it's not what I would call policy changes. It's just super clarifying in the ordinance.
Good.
And making sure it all, yeah. Yes. Well, we're also going to do a table, which I wanted to do forever, for all the uses. So instead of having to go to every zone, there'll be a list of every use and then
What
zones it's allowed and then what zones it's not.
So you know which one you wish.
Which is way easier, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It's going to take probably 5 or 6 months, and we are going to bring it to you all at once.
Oh, fun.
Yeah. Oh, fun. Good way to see it. Merry Christmas. That's what's going to happen. and that was his suggestion because he said, you know, if you do it a chapter at a time, it will take you forever. You're just going to get the whole 200-page ordinance. We're going to go through it.
I'm okay
sounds
with that.
Great.
That
and
sounds
again,
awesome.
It's not a lot of policy. It's not a lot of.
It's process.
It's just cleanup, process changes.
Yeah. And if anything, we'll just see things.
But at the same time, we are doing the parking chapter with that.
Okay.
Because he's going to help us with that.
Good.
And the sign, those two chapters, the signs and the parking, are the ones we're going to do with that.
So on the home occupation.
But we're going to do that before that.
I really
that's
think we need
quickly.
those small because we don't have much to really make judgment on, and I don't know that
we don't. It's a conditional use, and how do we?
So I just think we're pulling a lot.
The changes to that probably
for those is going to be very difficult.
We're kind of putting grasping at straws on that. There's not much strength.
And the changes we're going to have to make are not going to be pretty.
But
there's got to be no other way to do it.
But it's something real
necessary.
That we're
necessary.
Being faced with.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That doesn't mean we just.
Yeah.
I just worry we get a bunch of people that start to do these and they crop up everywhere and we can't stop
and
it.
Yep. Okay. Any other comments to be brought before the body? Okay. Seeing none, a review of our future meetings. The next regularly scheduled City Council meeting will be on Wednesday, September the 14th, because that is the.
Second
Wednesday, followed the next night by the third Thursday meeting of the Planning Commission on September the 15th.
Be nice to me that week.
And we do have a joint work meeting with the City Council scheduled on Thursday, September the 29th, on the fifth Thursday of the month. So plan your calendars accordingly.
And October 20th is canceled.
And
October 20th will likely be canceled.
Likely.
That is UEA weekend.
That is UEA. So, again, everybody, and as always, let me know when you're not going to be here.
Okay.
So, yeah.
All right. With that, I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
moved.
Got a motion?
Second.
And a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. We are adjourned.